Thanks, Dave. Wow, seems quite a long time since I preached. It was back in January, I think. So, yeah, this is good. I've always had a passion for God. I've always loved God. I've always loved serving God's kingdom, and I really, really feel it when my relationship with God isn't really how it should be. And I have to be honest with you, I'm feeling a little bit like that right now. A few weeks ago, I was lying in bed and I had one of those kind of soul searching moments, as I was just lying there thinking. I knew my regular rhythms of kind of spending time with God. They just weren't working out. I wasn't listening to worship as much as I should have been. I haven't been picking up my guitar, been finding it difficult. They talk about finding it difficult about reading the God's word. I've been finding that difficult too. And really, I was just a little bit out of sorts. And I know for sure, the Brown household has been very hectic over these last few months. We've had Samuel and Gemma and Joshua here. We've had Nathan, Georgie and Jesse here. So, things have been pretty hectic, but it is ever so easy, isn't it, to kind of look at your circumstances and blame your circumstances for something which really actually is a much deeper matter of your heart. And I always know when I'm not quite right, because I then start not to hear God as well as I'd like. And I've always enjoyed, and I find it really important to have that sense of God speaking prophetically to me. So I know what I should be doing. I know where the church should be going. And in all these areas, I've been really struggling. And I was lying in bed and I was thinking about this, and I just felt I needed to do something. I felt I needed to kind of just take control of my life again and get myself back into where I felt I needed to be. And so I went out for a walk in the morning. So all this happened in the middle of the night, which is often when God speaks to me. So in the morning I got up, I went out for a walk and I prayed, and I really just asked God to help me kind of get back into him, really. And I came back and I picked up my Bible, and I wanted to start reading again. And I'd already decided to choose reading John's Gospel. I'd only read chapter one, and so you can see how things have just not been working out for me. So I started reading from John chapter two, and of course you get that great story of Jesus turning water into wine. I was saying, God, God, are you speaking to me through this? And I didn't really feel God was speaking to me through that story, and I carried on reading. And then you get to that great story where Jesus goes to the temple and he turns the tables over. And throws a lot of people out. And as I was reading that story, I really felt God speak to me. I felt one of those moments where I just knew I needed to pause. And the scripture that God really spoke to me through was in verse 17, where it says, "Passion for your house will consume me. Passion for your house will consume me." And as I read that, it's like bang, God just started really speaking to my heart. So God has really challenged me over the last several weeks, really, and I want to share what some of this journey that I've been going on, some of what I've been feeling, and maybe some of this will challenge all of us this morning. And I have a question I just want to ask, really. Where is your passion? So just think about that. Where is your passion? I'm going to be sharing some very honest feelings about where I feel I'm at and what's going on in my life. And I hope you won't judge me too harshly for it, but actually I hope this will encourage you and inspire you, maybe for yourself, to examine your own life and challenge your own life in just the same way as I'm examining and challenging my own. So let's read, please, John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. And in the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. And Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle, and he scattered the money changers, coins, over the floor and turned over the tables. Then, going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then the disciples remembered this prophecy from scripture: "Passion for God's house will consume me. But the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it. All right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. What? They exclaimed. It's taken 46 years to build this temple and you can build it in 3 days. When Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he'd said this and they believed the scriptures and what Jesus had said. Yeah, it's that verse 17, passion or zeal for God's house or God's temple consumes me. That phrase, passion for God's house, well, what does that mean? You know, Jesus didn't kind of just wander into the temple, look around, look at the walls and, wow, what a mess this temple's in. Look at the floor, it's messy, look at all the rubbish all over the place. You know, we could do with some murals on the ceiling. It wasn't like that. And I know that you know that, but what I'm trying to do is just kind of make a point here, because it's not what it looks like. It's about what its purpose is all about. See, for Jesus, God's house was a house of prayer. It was a place for prayer. And if you look at the other scriptures relating to this story, you'll see that come out really clearly. And what was happening in the outer courts of the temple was getting in the way of people coming into God's presence to pray and to feel God and to have for God to speak to them. And in particular, in the outer courts, which is where all this was happening, this was the place where the non-Jews would come into the presence of God. The people who weren't Jews, but nevertheless were godly and they wanted to meet with God, this is where they would come. But because of what was happening, they were able to do this. And I don't know how this had come about, how long it took to come about, but somehow the leaders of the temple had kind of lost their way. And so I want to present really the first of three challenges. And the first challenge, and this one is a real challenge to me personally, is this. Has my passion for God become a passion for something else? Has my passion for God become a passion for something else? You know, there's nothing wrong, I don't think, with my enthusiasm. I hope actually that some of my enthusiasm and passion rubs off on all of us. I believe I work hard. I try to be conscientious. Everything I do, I try to do well. I think this is really good. However, I think what God has challenged me about is, have I become so consumed in trying to run the church well, which in itself, I hope you would agree, is a good thing to do, but have I become so consumed in trying to run the church well that I've actually lost some of my passion for Jesus himself? Now, that's a really challenging question. It's a question I'm asking myself. You know, and as I've reflected on that challenge, I'm ashamed to say, really, that I feel to some degree that's true. And I know it's wrong, and I'm really trying to deal with it. And I'm working this through with God about how I feel about God himself and my passion for him. It's really interesting, because you know that I loathe going through the motions. I go on about this all the time. I bang this drum out. I don't want to go round and round doing the same old thing all the time. And yet I feel like maybe I am going through the motions myself. I'm just doing it with loads of enthusiasm. Busyness for church is not the same as passion for Jesus Christ. You know, I look at my dad, he's on this call right now. I'm seeing him in the corner of my eye. I look at my dad and I love his passion for God. I love his love, his passion for Jesus. Those of you who heard my dad share a few weeks ago, now you may not remember exactly what he shared. I'll be honest, I can't remember exactly what he shared unless I went back and listened to it again. But one thing that really sticks in my mind is I can picture dad's face. And when he was trying to communicate about how he felt about God, he was almost lost for words because he loves God so much. You know, and I remember feeling that way, you know, back in my youth, in my late teens, in my early 20s, how I felt about God, my love for God, my passion for God. You know, and I want some of that back, and I want some of what my dad has got still in his 80s, nearly 90 this year. And I want to feel that passion again. And I realize as I've reflected and I've examined my life and the things I do and the way I do things, I think, God, am I just becoming more enthusiastic for church than I am feeling about my passion for him? Now, Bible scholars amongst us, you know, if you know your Bibles well, you'll know that John 2:17 is actually a quote from Psalm 69, verse 9, a Psalm of David. Now, David is one of my favorite Bible characters, always has been. I love him. He's a man after God's own heart. He's Israel's singer of songs. He's full of worship and love. He was a godly king. He stood for righteousness and truth. And he also knew his weaknesses, and he also knew his sins. And you know, if you read through Psalm 69, you'll see David even praying that his own failings and his own sin won't cause other people to stumble. And I can really, really identify with that as a leader. You know, David, when he wrote this psalm, he was feeling really weary. He was weary of the relentless attacks and accusations and criticisms that all his enemies were throwing at him. Why? Because he loved God. And he says, finally, in verse 9, he says, passion for your house has consumed me. In fact, I want to read some of that psalm to you. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. And reading from verse 9, it says, my love for you has my heart on fire. My passion consumes me for your house. Nothing will turn me away, even though I endure all the insults of those who insult you. When they see me seeking for more of you with weeping and fasting, they just scoff and they scorn at my passion. When I humble myself with sorrow over my sin, it gives them a reason to mock me even more. The leaders, the influential ones, how they scorn my passion for you. I've become the talk of the town, the theme of drunkard songs, but I keep calling out to you, Yahweh. Pull me out of this mess. Don't let me sink. Rescue me from those who hate me and from all those who and from all this trouble that I'm in. Incredible psalm, isn't it? I've only read a portion of it. Now, you may remember when Nikki shared just a few weeks ago, and she was talking about loving like Jesus. One of the things she said was, you know, if you love like Jesus, it could well get you into trouble. And so the second challenge I'm asking myself, and I'd encourage us all to ask this same question, is when was the last time my passion for God, my passion and love for Jesus, when was the last time it actually got me into trouble? Tough question, isn't it? Put it another way, is my lifestyle so similar to the lifestyle of the world that the people around me actually don't really see any difference, and they certainly don't see God in my life? You know, there's no spiritual grit in the way that I live and the things that I say and the things that I do. Now, you know, does my Christianity stand out and stand up for righteousness? Now, I'm not suggesting that, as you know, we all become weirdos. You know, oh, there's Holy Joe, let's go another way. You know, people start to avoid us because we act in a kind of weird way. I'm not suggesting that at all. But, you know, God, the Bible does tell us that we should be salt and light to the world around us. You know, we should be the hope and love, and we should be speaking the truth and standing up for righteousness. We should be defending the poor and the needy and the helpless, which is all of what Jesus did. You know, and if we do that, the Bible says in John 15, it says, you know, the world hated Jesus, and he'll hate us too. And David's own testimony was the world hated him because of his love and his passion for Jesus. You know, it is safe, isn't it? It's generally quite safe worshiping God in the temple, in the church. You know, we can sing our songs, and we can pray our prayers, and we can dance around, and nobody's looking at us, and nobody's really challenging us. But, you know, when we take our love, when we take our Christianity, when we take our faith, and we go outside of the safety of the four walls, and we act passionately outside the church in the same way as we might act passionately inside the church, that's when we're going to start, you know, raising eyebrows. That's when we can start getting people in, you know, getting ourselves into trouble. That's when we're going to start, you know, getting criticism, maybe even persecution. So I want, let me ask the same question yet again in another way. You know, is my passion for inside or outside the temple? Is my passion for inside or outside the temple? Bear in mind, when David wrote this psalm, the temple didn't even exist. There was no inside. I wonder what David really was talking about. Now, I know when we read this story in John chapter 2, we need to remember that Jesus, he was on a mission. His mission was to seek and to save the lost. He'd come to save the world. And Jesus even hints at this when he was challenged by the leaders and they told him to, and he said, look, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Of course, Jesus was talking about his own life. He knew what he was facing ahead of him. He was talking about being crucified on the cross and being raised up again in 3 days. You know, Jesus' passion was centered on his Father's mission, which was to seek and to save the lost. You know, Jesus called himself in John chapter 10, he said, I'm the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He talked about leaving the 99 in order to go and seek the one lost sheep. You can see, can't you, where Jesus' passion lay. And nothing was ever going to get in the way of Jesus fulfilling God's mission and fulfilling the purpose that God had set out for him. Nothing was going to get in the way. And when his humanity, and we need to remember that Jesus was fully human as well as being fully God. When Jesus' humanity kind of rose to the surface and he felt completely overwhelmed, he said, God, if this cup can pass from me, but then you feel the spirit, the faith and his passion and his love for God rise up. He said, but God, not my will, but yours be done. You see, true passion for God, if we say that we're passionate for God, then true passion for God will be demonstrated in true passion for God's mission. And God's mission is not the church. God's mission is salvation of the world. Church is important, of course it is, but the mission of God and the mission of Jesus was to come and seek and save the lost. So we come back to our story in John chapter 2. You know, the temple had become a marketplace. And this was not what it was all about. And we need to be careful, even New Life Church, dare I say, we need to be careful that our church in the same way doesn't become a marketplace. And I'm not talking about bringing all the farm animals into church and selling them. I'm not talking about that. But, we could fall into the trap of selling our style of worship, selling our style of preaching, selling our style of church life and fancy websites and fancy, things we put at the front of church and all these kind of things. Don't get me wrong. I love the way we do church. And I think we do church excellently. And I believe it honors God. But we have to be careful that we don't make church a marketplace and we lose our way. I heard Paul Harcourt from New Wine just recently talking about the consumer church. And he talks about how so many people these days, they come to church to get. They come to church to receive. And they want church to be a particular way. And if the church isn't delivering, they'll go somewhere else. And so what do church leaders do? Paul Harcourt says that, even church leaders then start to collude with this culture when they realize that people aren't enjoying church, it's kind of rubbing things a bit the wrong way. They will change what they do in order to make sure not to lose people. And so you get this consumer church where it's all about what people want rather than necessarily what God is saying to us as a church. This is not what we need to be. It's certainly what I don't want New Life Church to become. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants to make us to become in order that we can fulfill the great commission which God has given every single one of us to outwork. Jesus performed most of this outside of the streets, in the streets where people were or inside people's homes. That's where Jesus was outworking God's mission. So this brings me to a final challenge, really. How far will my passion for God go? Or if you want to put it another way, at what cost, what price am I prepared to pay for my passion? Passion for God is sacrificial. requires laying down our lives for Christ. It requires laying down our own interests, our own priorities, laying down our time, which perhaps is one of the most precious things that we have these days. And it's making Christ, making Jesus, making God number one. You know, David said, again, back to David, my favorite character in Psalm 27, one of my favorite Psalms, he said, "One thing I desire of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, that I may seek him in his holy temple." Now, you know, that might sound like a very selfish, inward kind of prayer. But actually, David was just saying how much he loved God, how much he just wanted to be in the presence of God. But the entire testimony of David, and you read it through his Psalms and you read it in his life, all of his passion for God was lived outside. There was no inside. And that got him into so much trouble. You know, in Matthew 10, 38, says this: "Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." You know, we need to follow Jesus. We need to take up our cross and we need to take church outside of our four walls. This is what David tried to do centuries before Jesus, and it got him into so much trouble. Don't get me wrong. You know, I need to say this because it sounds like I might be putting the emphasis so far away from church. I love church. I love our church. I love every one of you. I love all the things that we do. But God is stirring something in my heart, which says, you know, we need to be careful we don't become a marketplace. And we need to remember what church actually is all about. And it's about equipping us and filling us and making us strong in God so that we can get out there and we can be like Jesus and we can live and love the world, live out and love the world with the mission and love of God. You know, Gavin Calvert, in his book Unleashed, which is the book I'm reading at the moment, he quotes a pastor called Malcolm MacDonald. Let me read to you what he says. He says, "We spend our lives seeking safety, ease, and comfort. Yet church in the New Testament ran towards sacrifice, servanthood, and risk. What is our goal in life? Getting our needs met, or laying our lives down? It's time we refocused our priorities." I just really identify that. And listen, if we are going to refocus our priorities, if we're going to somehow get hold of God in this and be the church and be the individual that God wants us to be, then boy, we need to really pray and we need to go ask God to speak to us prophetically so that when if we do reorganize our priorities, we get it right. And this is why, you know, at the moment, prayer is such a passion, such a burden and such a priority to me, because I'm desperate once again to hear God to lead us and to help us to step one step at a time back out to where we need to be. So let me just summarize what I feel God is saying to me personally. Maybe I'm the only one that's struggling with this. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that my relationship with God isn't quite where it needs to be. Maybe I'm the only one that is feeling that, you know, something needs to change. My guess is, though, I suspect there are a number of us here who are feeling some or part or maybe even all or even more of what I'm feeling. We just need to get deeper into God and ask God to break us free and to be everything that God has called us to be. Let me remind us of some of the things I'm trying to say here, that let's not be deceived. Busyness is not the same as passion. Busyness is not the same as passion. I'm a busy guy. I keep myself busy. I'm very active. But I realize in God is kind of grabbing hold of me, say, "Richard, you know, busyness is not the same as passion. I want your love again, Richard. I want to feel that passion. I want to feel that heartache that you used to feel when you were in your late teens and early 20s. Remember, passion for the church is not the same as passion for Jesus and his kingdom and his mission. And what's that mission? Well, the work of Jesus is not singing worship and worship songs on a Sunday morning in church. We do that and it's important. But the work of Jesus is reaching the lost And I believe every one of us needs to pinch ourselves, if you like, and say, you know, have I forgotten really what it's all about? And am I become a consumer church member where really all I want is to be blessed? All I want is my worship. All I want is in-person meetings back. Yes, I want in-person meetings back. I do. I'm not going to kid you. I'm not going to lie. But there's something greater out there. There's something much more important that is getting back onto the mission of Jesus and making a difference. So I'm being challenged to the core. I'm on this journey. I haven't got it all sorted out. I'm sorry, but I am on a journey and I'm working on it. I want us all to work on it. And we need to encourage each other, you know, to be everything that God has called us to be. We so need the Holy Spirit at this time. You know, if we were in an in-person meeting now, I'd be calling for the worship team to come forward and say, let's just spend some time now in the presence of God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and fall mightily upon us, like the Holy Spirit fell in the book of Acts, you know, when it came down on fire and the church was empowered with the Holy Spirit and they went out and goodness me, the church came alive and many people were born again that day. Wouldn't it be great to experience them? I don't know how to make that happen on Zoom, but I refuse to let the fact that we can't meet in person at this time stop us from being all that God needs us to be. But I rely on us, each individual in our own places, in our own worship times, in our own walks and talks with God. You know, each one of us, we need to do this. We need to get hold of God. We've got to have a passion, but it's got to be a passion for Jesus and it's got to be a passion for his mission. Amen.